Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Another day, another record increase in the number of Illinois' confirmed cases of COVID-19. As we go to air Thursday morning, more than 15,000 people have been officially diagnosed with coronavirus disease, though the number of actual cases is thought to be much higher. 462 people have died. On the subject of numbers, last week, Governor J.B. Pritzker said it was crucial that Illinois be able to test 10,000 people a day. That's the number public health experts say can help identify hotspots so the state can have a more targeted response. But Wednesday afternoon, Pritzker began his daily briefing like this.
Folks, I promised you honesty and transparency in every step of our COVID-19 response, so here it is. We have only just recently surpassed 6,000 tests, and we will not reach the 10,000 mark this week.
The governor says the goal is dependent on automating some of the testing, but the equipment they bought for that purpose is not yet productive or accurate enough. Coming up later this hour on the 21st, Illinois' stay-at-home order has been tough on a lot of people. But for those in addiction recovery programs, where group meetings are often such an important part of the process, it can be particularly challenging. We'll talk with a couple of experts about how people are coping. If you or someone you know is in recovery and have a question, or if you want to join the conversation later this hour, give us a call, 800-222-9455. First, however, almost no part of the American economy has been untouched by the coronavirus pandemic. That goes especially for an industry that touches almost every part of the American economy, trucking. For one perspective on what's happening on the roads, earlier this week I checked in with Steve Wilmert. He drives a flatbed long distance out of Springfield. He says he hauls a lot of construction material, but the day we spoke, he'd been up in Michigan delivering a load of hay to a dairy farm. By the time I caught up with him, he was back in Illinois, heading south on Interstate 57, just outside Kankakee. I asked him if the COVID-19 shutdowns have affected his work.
From my standpoint, not being in the food industry, you know, and hauling that kind of stuff, I would say it's starting to slow down. I know I was fortunate. I got loaded Thursday with a load to take home. But I know I was talking to my fleet manager this morning. He said Friday was getting a little rough trying to find loads for guys. And then I didn't have trouble this morning finding a load, but one of my buddies that works for the same company, he was down in St. Louis, and he sat for a couple hours waiting for our company to find a load that they could dispatch to him, which is St. Louis on a Monday morning shouldn't be a problem finding a load. So we're starting to see some impacts. You know, some companies have minimized their crews. Some companies have shut down altogether, I guess.
One of the things we've heard is that, especially people going, you know, long distance truck driving, I would imagine that roadside facilities are key. And of course, restaurants are closed, at least in Illinois and in a lot of other states. But we've also heard about truck stops shutting down services like showers and things like that. I wonder, what have you seen in that regard, and is it affecting you?
I stick mainly to like the Midwest states, and I have not seen any of that. I've been very fortunate. I've heard about it in places like Pennsylvania and out east. I really have not run into any issues with either getting a shower at the truck stops or any rest areas that have been closed up. Everything's pretty much been business as usual, except for sometimes the facility might be closed, but they've got, you know, like port-a-johns or something set up. So, I mean, you can still do what you need to do.
And what do the roads look like? Does traffic seem any different than it usually does?
Oh, it's definitely different. I just went through Chicago at 5:15, and I didn't have to pump the brakes one time.
Huh.
So,
wow.
It is definitely different, which I'm glad to see. You know, especially in Chicago, it's bad enough getting through there as it is. But you know, I'm happy to see less cars on the road.
Sure,
some people are listening.
And, you know, I wonder about that. Do you feel like you have what you need to do your job safely, even as this virus is out there?
Well, I mean, I'm as prepared as I guess as I can be. I've got hand sanitizer. I've got disinfecting wipes in my truck. Most of the places I've been to have been very proactive as far as changing their setup for their receiving office or shipping windows. You know, they've put up plexiglass. They've put up hand sanitizing stations at a lot of the places I've been to, you know, to help out so that they can keep their business going and keep everybody safe. So, I mean, I feel pretty good about it. I'm not a big germaphobe type guy as it is. I don't ever get sick. So me personally, I'm not all that worried about it. Knock on wood, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm worried about it. I would never want to be somebody that was transmitting it, but
right.
You know, I do what they tell us to do. Stay 6 feet away from everybody. Wash my hands or hand sanitize as often as I need to, and just be smart about it. Just use some common sense.
And what about economically? Do you have concerns? I mean, you mentioned a little bit of a slowdown starting to creep into the industry. Do you envision you're possibly having to stay home at some point?
That's a fear, obviously. I've been glad to keep working. But like I told my fleet manager, I said, yeah, I'm in a different situation than most folks. I got a nice severance package a couple years ago that I never spent. So if I told him, I said, if it comes down to me going home and some guy with kids that needs to work being on the road, send me home. I said, I would rather be the guy taking the downtime because I can afford to.
Hmm.
I said, I would not want to be taking food out of somebody's family or away from somebody's family out driving just to be selfish. So, I mean, for me, I mean, yeah, I don't want to slow down, but, you know, if it comes down to it, you know, so be it. You know, I'm not going to sweat it because I don't live check to check like some folks do. Cause, you know, I don't have kids.
Yeah. The last thing I want to ask you about is we've heard a lot about essential workers lately. And I think if we could go back a month or two and ask people to list out, you know, who do you think is an essential worker? A lot of them are going to say, what, firefighters, police officers, nurses, doctors. But now, of course, we're all awake to the idea that people who work in grocery stores and gas stations are pretty essential. And obviously so are the men and women who drive the trucks that get food and gas and other products to those essential operations. I wonder, have you always felt like an essential worker? Has that changed in the past month or so?
I mean, I realize what truck driving does for the economy as a whole. So, I mean, me personally, I always felt like, you know, if truck drivers decided to shut down, the whole country would be screwed. But, you know, I think other people might be realizing that. But, you know, I've always had the opinion everybody's essential in one form or another. So, I mean, I never looked at it like I was doing something special or anything like that. I'm just playing a role. My job's nothing if the guy at the factory doesn't show up to cut the steel. You know, I mean, everybody plays a part. So, you know, and having worked in retail for 10 years, you know, stocking shelves and stuff, you know, I've always known how important that is, even though people minimize it. Because, you know, well, if it ain't on a shelf, you can't buy it.
Is there anything else that you've seen or that strikes you that I haven't mentioned that's worth talking about that you're seeing out there in the world?
I think I'm just glad to see people being proactive. You know, like I said, I mean, I've never seen so much hand sanitizer my whole life, you know, going to different places and stuff. And even job sites, you know, you see the porta-johns, but it's very rare that you see the hand-washing station and sanitizer station next to the porta-johns. I mean, even the job sites are being more proactive so they can try to make sure they keep their business going.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, I've been, overall, I guess I'd just say I've been happy with the response.
Yeah.
You know, of seeing how people have been acting and responding. I mean, there's still some idiots that walk right up next to you when you're standing, you know, 6 feet back from the window or whatever because somebody's up there, but they get the hint real quick when you 6'5", 265, and you turn around and look at them like, dude, get back.
Well, thank you so much again. I appreciate it. And drive safely and stay well.
All right, man. Thank you.
Steve Wilmert speaking with us earlier this week from his flatbed heading south on Interstate 57. I'd like to bring another voice into the conversation here. As Steve mentioned, truck stops are critical for drivers. We're joined now by Lisa Mullings. She's president and CEO of the National Association of Truck Stop Owners. Lisa, thanks so much for joining us, and welcome to the show.
Hi, great to be with you.
So, Lisa, Steve, the truck driver, mentioned there that he's seeing trucks and travel stops remaining open, at least in the Midwest. Is that the case around the country?
Yes, truck stops and travel plazas are open. I'm not aware of one truck stop that's closed or that has closed. I think a lot of people are getting confused about the difference between a truck stop and a rest area. A rest area is the state-run facilities, and those are not the same as truck stops. So I think there has been some confusion, but I'm not aware of any truck stops that have closed.
Yeah, and here in Illinois, the rest areas don't have gas, usually just a couple of vending machines or something like that. So truckers, I think, are essential workers, but obviously so are the truck stops and travel plazas that serve them. So what are you hearing from members of your organization?
Well, first, I just love what Steve said about everybody's essential in one way or another. And I thought that was really gracious of him, because the truck drivers really are the heroes of the, you know, of this whole emergency, because they are putting themselves at risk going out there and delivering these products. So I appreciate what they're doing and what Steve's doing. But I do think that our members feel a sense of pride that they are supporting these drivers as they, you know, are bringing these emergency medical supplies and food and other things that we need. So they are very much, you know, feeling a lot of pride and patriotism, because they think what they're doing is important. And I agree.
You know, one of our producers shared an article with me where in which you were recently quoted as saying that, you know, what should be 20-minute stops are turning into 2-hour layovers, and that it's imperative that local officials enforce occupancy caps in truck stops. I wonder if you're concerned about anything like that, as you know, truckers, as we heard from Steve, are sometimes waiting longer to get dispatched to loads.
Yes, and you know, one of the issues that we're having is, you know, there are literally thousands of counties all over the country. And a lot of the decisions about restrictions are being made at the county level. And so a place in Texas, for example, you know, they're telling a business that is a 20,000 square foot business that they can only have 10 people, including employees, in the building at one time. And, you know, when you consider that an average convenience store is about 3,000 square feet, you can see why, you know, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for a big truck stop to just only have 10 people, including employees, especially when there are drivers that are needing to use the showers and they are in the showers, or, you know, they're getting food at the food court, or, you know, there's different areas inside one building at a truck stop. So it's basically, I think, that these health officials that are well-intentioned, they don't understand the difference between a truck stop and some other smaller retail businesses.
Yeah,
and
I guess
so
you can't.
What we're trying to do, we've been trying to educate them, because we know they're trying to keep their people safe, and that makes a whole lot of sense to me. But we also have to understand that these truckers need to get moving, and they need to get back on the road. So we've been making pretty good progress, and we've been touching base with a lot of counties to try to get them to understand. And a lot of them now understand, and they have loosened some of those restrictions.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we've only got about a minute left in our conversation, but I'm wondering what sort of precautions are you advising that your members take for themselves and their employees to keep their, well, like I said, their workers safe as well as the truckers safe?
They're following all of the CDC requirements, as well as all the requirements that the restaurant industry puts out. You know, they're cleaning everything a lot more than they would normally. They are, some of them are using masks or depending on the locality. They're, of course, offering hand sanitizer and hand sanitizer stations to customers and employees. They're obviously practicing social distancing. everybody is very careful about making sure that we're keeping our customers safe and keeping the team members safe as well.
Lisa Mullings is president and CEO of the National Association of Truck Stop Owners. Lisa, thanks for being here. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your day.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Coming up after the break, the coronavirus stay-at-home orders have been tough on many of us in different ways, but for people recovering from addictions, the isolation presents a particular challenge. We'll be talking with a couple of experts on the subject. If you or someone you know is in recovery and want to share your story with us, or if you have a question for our experts, please give us a call, 800-222-9455. That number again, 800-222-9455. More 21st in 2 minutes. Stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. Whether you're just starting out or upgrading to your dream home, Busey can guide you every step of the way because they know there's no place like home. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.